verses 5b through 12. Before we get to that chapter, I wanted to read to you another of the wisdom literature to talk about the importance of the tongue and the destruction that the tongue can bring. And that's Proverbs 12, verses 17 through 19. The author writes, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but false witness utters deceit. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." You see, words matter. We said that last week in the evening sermon. We'll say that again this week. Words matter, and the way that we use our tongue is important. In this passage, we're going to be reminded that the tongue is very hard to tame. It is very hard to control your tongue. In fact, James seems to indicate for man, this is impossible. Follow along as I read, beginning at the second half of verse 5 of chapter 3. "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." As we consider these words, full of illustration and full of the damage of what the tongue can do, let us turn briefly to the Lord. Lord, I pray, as we should earnestly do every week, Lord, I pray that the words from my mouth might be pleasing in your sight. I pray that the thoughts and meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. I pray that you will remove wickedness from us, particularly this evening as we consider our tongues. Lord, I pray that if anything is spoken here not consistent with your own word, that it will fall away and never be heard from again. In Jesus' name, amen. How many times have we seen the destruction that the tongue can bring? I remember several elections ago when I was a boy, when Ronald Reagan was president, and after him, and he was done with his 8 years, there was a man by the name of George Herbert Walker Bush who was running for president, and he had a famous saying that was attributed to him in one of the debates. He said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." And what happened? He was in favor of raising certain taxes, and they saw that his lips were not consistent with what his actions would describe. And of course, this was effective in perhaps helping to defeat him in his second term, or potential second term, for office. Perhaps you have heard of all those athletes in the big doping scandals. One of them was Lance Armstrong. And time after time, this great bicyclist won countless awards, greatest race in cycling in the world around us. And repeatedly he said, "I did not cheat, I did not practice doping, and I did not do all these things." And it went on for years, test after test, year after year, until finally it became evident he could deny it no more, and he recognized his lies and deceit. And then, of course, it's not the not-so-famous we hear about. Those parents who use their tongue to belittle their children and to tell them how awful they are. And of course, all of us as parents have done this from time to time. There are the husbands or the wives who have verbally abused their spouses and have belittled them and challenged them to the point sometimes of despair or divorce or even suicide. The tongue is so dangerous a weapon. Many of these situations are even from confessing Christians. We all know the times when we have used the tongue to lie, to deceive, to commit fraud, to do all these things, slander, gossip, whatever it is. The tongue is so very dangerous, how appropriate it is for us to spend 2 weeks, not one, on this section of Scripture. Here we are reminded by James, the tongue is dangerous. It's dangerous. Secondly, the tongue is untamed. It is wild. Thirdly, the tongue can be forked and is forked. It has two different things it's doing at once. First of all, he says the tongue is dangerous. Look at what he says. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And then he says the tongue is a fire. Or in this case, he's really saying the tongue is the fire. He's saying the tongue is dangerous due to its power. Think of the wild right now in the West, Oregon, Washington, all those places. It's destroying thousands upon thousands of acres. People have died. Homes have been destroyed. Property is being destroyed at a record pace. And it was no different in Israel. The danger of some of the wild brush in a dry region was such that just a small spark or something of a smoldering fire could start a ravaging fire that would destroy much. You see, the tongue is described here as having great power. But it's not just powerful. It's also due to its influence. Here's what he says in verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. How influential is the tongue? It's influential in this. James basically describes the tongue as being involved in all of the unrighteousness of the world. He says the tongue is this world of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is everything that is opposed to God and His purposes. It is basically describing things that are not right or correct before God. And he says the tongue is in the midst of this. The tongue itself is this world of unrighteousness. In other words, he's saying the influence of the tongue affects the whole world. And of course, just think of the first lying tongue that took place. The serpent in the garden, lying and deceiving Eve. And it affected the whole world until Jesus is to come back. The influence of the tongue is so great, the whole world is impacted. But it's not just the whole world that's impacted. When we look at a more magnified sense here, our entire bodies are contaminated by the tongue. This, they're staining. The staining is the word contaminating. You know how it works here. One little drop of a poison can contaminate the entire food. Here he's saying the tongue contaminates by its evil and by its unrighteousness. It contaminates the whole body. So when we look at someone who has problems with their tongue and sins with their tongue, we think of the whole person as being a sinner, and rightly so. I think of just the other day, I was making some Kool-Aid in our house. We're Kool-Aid drinkers. And so we like to drink Kool-Aid, and you know anything about how that works. You put in the sugar, and you put in the little powder of the Kool-Aid, and then you pour in the water, and it mixes and so forth. But just one little kernel of that Kool-Aid powder, and your hand can turn all red, if it's a red flavor, red coloring. In fact, so much so I can remember, there were those who would perform a joke in college. They would pour some powder, Kool-Aid powder, and somebody's soap so that when they took a shower, it would look like they were bleeding all over in the shower. It was contaminating the whole person. And this is what James says the tongue does to us. It contaminates everything. Everything is contaminated by what we say. Can't you think of those times where you regret what you've said? And can't you think of times when it's a word that was not aptly spoken, a word that was spoken in destruction, destroyed a person, a church, an organization, even a whole community, broken apart by the influence of the tongue? You see, it contaminates the whole body. And then it says not only this, but it says it is setting on fire the entire course of life. The idea here is this is the burning life. Now, it's kind of a puzzling phrase here. The phrase entire has to do with the word. It is basically saying from beginning to end. It makes everything an ash heap. Every part of our life from beginning to end, the whole course and entire being of our lives are burned by our tongue. And I have to say, that little phrase we used to say as kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, it is the biggest deceptive lie I think I've ever heard. Words hurt. And it's often the words that are spoken in dangerous situations by the power of a sinful tongue, unrighteous, contaminating, burning, that can really destroy people. And why is this so? Not only due to its power and its influence, but also due to its source. James has the audacity to say that this tongue is set on fire by hell. The indication here is it's actually a passive word, is set on fire by hell. And this word for hell is the word Gehenna. And if you knew anything about Gehenna, you knew that this, first of all, this was the place in the Valley of Hinnom outside Jerusalem that was first of all used in Old Testament times for the people of the land's child sacrifice to Moloch. And after Jerusalem was conquered by David and settled there, over time, by the time that Jesus is preaching and teaching, he talks about this place called Gehenna that was no longer a place for sacrifice because Josiah had destroyed those altars in that valley, but now was used for a garbage dump outside the gates of Jerusalem. And this place, Gehenna, was known to be always burning. As they put that garbage outside the city, they lit it on fire, and they would keep adding to that garbage over time, and the fire never went out. It was burning. And so here in the news is the word, 11 times Jesus uses this word, Gehenna, to describe hell. It lasts forever. It is burning. It is awful. It is an experience you never want to experience. The only other time in the entire New Testament that word is used other than by the mouth of Jesus is here in this passage. And James says, this is the source of the tongue. The tongue is set on fire or burned, and the source of it is hell itself. That's how dangerous the tongue is. In California now, even amidst the fires and some of the things that are going on out in the West, California is experiencing rolling blackouts. Perhaps you've read about this. We haven't experienced that here in the East. It's done in many other countries that don't have stable sources of electricity. California, because of their policies regarding relying on green energy, particularly solar energy, as well as wind energy, this type of energy is unstable. And so what has happened, because of the needs with the heat in this time of year and everything that's going on, the source of electricity is not able to keep up with the tremendous amount of power that people are using to cool their houses and do all the things they do with electricity. This source is unstable and is unable to provide for the needs of the people. The source of the tongue is also unstable because the source of the tongue is the deceptive heart. Jesus indicated as he talked about the tongue. He said, it's not what goes into the body that makes someone unclean. It's what comes out of that body from the heart through the words that they speak. This is how he indicated that the tongue source is hell-bound. The tongue source is the burning fires of hell. It's so difficult to control. So much so that James says the tongue is untamed. For every kind of beast, verse 7, and bird, every kind of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. These are the divisions that you read about back in the creation story in Genesis. He divides them up into these kinds of wild animals, and these kinds of birds and creeping things or reptiles, as well as sea creatures or marine animals. He says, from every source, man has been able to tame these creatures. Of course, we see that. We tame parakeets or parrots. We tame dogs and cats and horses and others. We're able to tame dolphins. We're able to tame even some lizards, so to speak. And yet, we cannot tame the tongue. Man can tame all kinds of creatures. It seems amazing. These creatures don't even, they weren't made in God's image like we are. They don't reflect upon the world and have a world view like we do and all those things. And yet we can teach them to do amazing things. We can teach them, to sit or stay. We can teach them to help us with search and rescue efforts. We can teach them to bring out the drug trade and smell out those things. We can do all kinds of things with creatures, but says man cannot, on the other hand, tame the tongue. Why? First of all, he says, it is an unstable evil. This is the word restless. It's no different than what James said in chapter 1, verse 8. He said this speaking of the double-minded man, the person who on the one hand would act as if he believed and yet on the other hand had great doubts and was unstable. It says he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He is unstable. It says our tongue is so hard to control because it is an unstable evil. It is restless. It is also, as described here, a fatal poison. What a terrible thing to say. It's not just that it can be used for bad purposes. It can be a killer. This is why we have laws on the books that it's so dangerous in certain circumstances to use the tongue improperly that even some forms of speech cannot be protected by our constitutional right of freedom of speech. You cannot yell in a crowded theater that there's a fire if there's not one, because it can result in a stampede that would cause the loss of life. You cannot be incendiary in your speaking to the point where you are promoting people to go out and kill somebody else. You don't really have the right to go in somebody's face and yell at them and call them all kinds of names. It's called disturbing the peace. You can't do these things. And the tongue is so untamed that it can be fatal in its actions. It is a fatal poison. But notice the word here in verse 8. No human being can tame the tongue. The word is man here. No man can tame the tongue. Mankind, human beings, however you want to look at this. If man cannot tame the tongue, who can? Only God can tame the tongue. Now I have to say, at places in scriptures, it looks like demons can tame the tongue. It looks like at times that demons can make somebody mute, because at times Jesus would kick out a demon or demons from an individual who was mute and then they would be allowed to speak. At times you see where the demon actually promotes that things that they would not otherwise know or speak, even prophetic things, predictive things. And it looks like that demon could tame the tongue, but in essence even the demons are under God's control. Only God can tame the tongue. You know, there are countless stories of horses which are difficult to break. I've not broken horses. I've not been someone who's been around a lot of horses. I was around a few horses out in South Dakota. Elena got to ride a horse for a little bit. And, of course, we all know the history of horses and their importance in our culture and society up until the time of the automobile, and how they were used not only for transportation but for work and all those things, and how important it would have been for people to break those horses so that they were able to be under control. But you know, there's always been those stories of those horses who only answered to one individual. For whatever reason, they would not listen or be tamed by anybody else. And there was one person, perhaps a man, perhaps a woman, whoever it was, maybe just the owner of that horse would only be under control by that one person. This is the tongue. We can't control our own tongues. We can't control the tongues of others. We can't control the tongues of those within our church assembly. We can't control the tongues of our children. We can't control the tongues even within our own bodies to say the things that are always pleasing to God. And this is why it takes supernatural power to tame the tongue. You see how important it is for us to ask God for help to tame our tongue. When was the last time in your prayers to God you said, God, help me to speak the things that will only glorify you. Help me not to do the things and speak the things with my tongue, to use it in such a way that on the one hand I bless you and on the other hand I curse people. You see, this is the problem that is described next. Verses 9. With it, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in His likeness. He says the tongue is forked. It has two different things it's doing at once. This is the one thing that scares a lot of people about snakes. The snakes come out, and as the tongue flickers out, it's forked, and it looks different from ours. And you know, there are some individuals who have actually gotten their tongue surgically cut so that it looks like it's forked, and we all are in despair when we see someone like that. It is so different, but it also illustrates what our tongues are like. With it, he says, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord and our Father. Now, what is he referring to here? Remember, James grew up a Jewish man, and he was, by this time, what we might call a Christian rabbi. He was a teacher and a leader of the early church in Jerusalem. And it was the practice among Jewish individuals, as they would be focused on their relationship with God. In one hand, when they came together, there was a confessional worship. And so what they would do is they would confess certain truths about God. They would memorize passages like, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They would memorize other passages and recite God's word, and they would have a confessional worship where their tongue would bless the Lord. On the other hand, it was also very liturgical in its worship. Even this morning in Sunday school, we saw that when the people had entered the land and they came in to the land and they had their first year of crops, that they would bring in the first fruits of those crops, that actually had things that were supposed to be recited before the priests, basically saying, God has fulfilled this. This is the first year. This is the produce. God has fulfilled his promise to me. And then secondly, they would give a history of how God had worked from Abraham through the Exodus, through the wanderings, and now here they were. It was a liturgical service. And there were certain things that they did in this service to indicate their relationship with God. And if boy, then you would be taught, perhaps if you were very orthodox in your faith, you would be taught 18 times to give these eulogies or blessings of God. And you would say them every single day. You would bless the Lord over and over and over again. And yet, James says, the same tongue that blesses the Lord is the same tongue that curses people made in God's image. How can we do those things? In fact, we understand this cursing is not just the kind of cursing where you say, I curse you for such and such a reason. These are the kinds of curses where we are basically looking to denigrate and destroy others. And we do this in all kinds of ways. It's not just coarse language. It's slander, gossip, lies, fraud, deceit, false witness. I can go on. The list is endless. There are all kinds of ways we can use our tongue, in essence, to curse and to destroy other people. And even we who have been believers for a long time and God has worked in our lives and has begun this process of sanctification in us, we still struggle with our tongue. How many times can you think, I shouldn't have said that? Or, you know, I didn't really mean to promise that. Or, you know, I don't think I told the truth. How many times have we cursed those made in the image of God? And yet, what does James say? Doing those things is absurd. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? How important was it for them to have water in Palestine? Very important. It was so important that a city was vital. He says, if it pulled in fresh water, it doesn't work. Everybody knows this. He says, can a fig tree bear olives? How absurd. Can a grapevine produce figs? That's just silly. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You know, you can't get fresh water out of the ocean unless you go through a tremendously difficult process. And so he's reminding them, don't give up. It's so absurd for you to bless God and curse those made in God's image. Seek the impossible. Tame the tongue. Ask God for help. How important is it for us to consider what we say to others? You see, it's one of the most difficult, impossible things, isn't it? My kids are all running again this year. They're doing the cross-country running. And pretty soon, at some point, they'll begin to have these races. It seems impossible when you get cramps that you can run through the cramps. Seems impossible. But perhaps the most difficult thing is to run when you're past the point of believing that you can possibly go any further. You hit that running block sometimes, particularly if you're trying to hit your fastest time and you're trying to maintain the fastest pace you can possibly manage. You're trying to leave everything out there on the course. You get to the point where you say, I don't think I can do this anymore. And it's not until you can run past that point of belief that you can actually finish the race, especially with a time that you like. The tongue is like this. On the one hand, God tells us through the pen of James, it's impossible for us to tame the tongue. We can't do it. It's too dangerous, it's too untamed, and it's forked. We cannot possibly tame the tongue. But, he says, in essence, don't give up. Because it's not man alone that we rely upon. We rely on God. We pray for miraculous intervention, that God would use our tongues for good, and that they would not be double-minded, they would not be forked, they would not both bless and curse. Yes, that is the natural event of the tongue. It is the tongue, it says, is from the burning of hell itself. And yet, by God's grace, he can help us to begin to conquer and tame the tongue. My friends, don't think this is a small thing. This is a big thing. It's not just that we want to be nice to other people. It's that these things either glorify God or they don't glorify God. And this is a lifelong battle. It is. We're reminded that in times of difficulty and distress, what happens? If we lose our mental faculties, what often happens is we begin to say things that we cannot control that reveal the state of our hearts. That's why some individuals, when they have different ideas and different mental issues, they begin to curse and they begin to say words and things that they would never say before. It's because it reveals the state of our heart when those barriers are brought down. My friends, only by God's grace can the tongue be conquered. Let us pray together that God would help us with our tongues. Lord, I pray that is a part of our witness to others, for your glory and by your grace, you would help us with our tongues, that we would not only bless you in worship, in prayer, as we read your scriptures, as we interact with others, but Lord, keep us from cursing others and using our tongues for great danger and poisoning all those around us. Father, we know we're going to fail from time to time, especially when we rely upon you or upon ourselves and not you. Father, we pray that you will guide our tongues as believers. Help us to avert this deadly words of life and word, that we might see the power of your Spirit even greater than the power of the tongue. In Jesus' name, amen.